Hey there, my lovelies. Thank you for joining us on our 31st episode for Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today, we'll be discussing some pretty awesome Korean horror movies, The Host from 2006 and new release The Train to Busan. Both these movies are available to stream on Netflix, so if you are spoiler sensitive, you might want to go check those out before listening. But otherwise, thank you for joining us.
Woo!
I tried some... That was a really good woo.
Thanks.
A little bit delayed, but I appreciated it just the same. I tried something new there with the 31st episode because I noticed we don't say the number of our episodes.
We don't, which could be confusing for people. I like knowing what episode we're on. I think
okay,
that's
well,
fun.
I'll keep it. So glad we could have this meeting during our
Me
episode.
Too. Thanks for being a part of it, guys.
Thanks, guys. So before we jump into these movies, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is 47 Meters Down with a theatrical release date of June 16th. The IMDb summary is two sisters vacationing in Mexico are trapped in a shark cage at the bottom of the ocean with less than an hour of oxygen left and a great white sharks circling nearby. It's directed by Johan Roberts, who is directing the new Strangers sequel that's coming out. And it's written by Johan Roberts and Ernest Riera. And it seems like they team up a lot, but I'm not super familiar with the films they've done in the past. So what did you think of this one, Carly?
So I love sharks. I wish that these kinds of movies didn't exist because they kind of promote shark hysteria. But at the same time, I love watching them. So it's like an inner battle that I go through. I'm pretty sure that this movie was supposed to come out last year. Because I remember when the shark movie that came out last year. After I saw that, one of my friends was like, you should see this movie, but it was called like In the Deep or something like mm-hmm. that. And I don't know if it was like available to buy on Amazon at that point, and I just didn't feel like it. I like wanted to wait till it was free streaming, but then I think they decided, hey, let's release this during Shark Week, which is I think what The Shallows did last year.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Like, I'm going to see it because I love shark movies, but at the same time, like, it's just so far-fetched.
I find this one, like, especially far-fetched, this one seems.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason for those sharks to really be circling those girls the entire time and to be chasing them around. That is not how sharks act or react to humans being in the water.
Like, sharks don't hunt that deep, first of all. Second of all, they're not like pack animals, so like they wouldn't be like hunting together. Like they're very kind of like they're loners. So
right,
especially it looks like they're supposed to be like great white sharks, which they're kind of like, you know, they usually go for seals at the surface, and that's when you get those like sweet flying shark videos and pictures and stuff like that. So I mean, take like it's a grain of salt movie, like. I'll see it because, you know, I love sharks and it'll probably be entertaining to me and hopefully we'll get some, like, cool kills, I guess, but I don't know.
How many cool kills can we get with two characters?
True statement. It seems like it's just going to be, like, really suspenseful.
I don't care about this movie. I'm just being honest. I honestly didn't care about The Shallows, but I heard it was good, so I'll probably see it when it's streaming. But this movie looks, I don't even like dislike the main characters. The main actresses. I like Mandy Moore, and I'm sorry, I forget the other girl's name that's in this or woman's name who's in this. But she was in Vampire Diaries, so I know her from that. And I like them both. They seem like fine actresses. But it just doesn't do anything for me. It seems hokey and like just like a big blockbuster horror movie. And maybe it'll be fun, but I don't know. I'm not super stoked on it.
This will be a $6 movie for me.
Yeah, it's just weird because not even knowing things about sharks, like, as much as you do, it seems far-fetched. Like, why would they be so attached to these two women and like, need to eat them and eat their camera? And, like, it just... Like, just make them... Like, they're basically monsters. They're not animals that we know things about. Like,
right. So it's like, who wrote this script? Oh, those guys.
Yeah. Whereas something like Jaws seems to make more sense because it's one specific shark who just happens to be kind of monstrous, which I can get behind that. Or like even open water where they're at the surface and it seems to make a little bit more sense. They're stuck out there. There's a boat there to like rescue them. It's just weird.
I think open water is probably the most like legit because it's not one shark that's like coming at you. Because like sharks don't hold grudges. Yeah. Sharks, they're, right. You know, like, except for if it's like a bull shark, they're not going to be like super like openly aggressive. If like they don't feel you, then they'll, you know, be on their way. But yeah, open water is kind of legit because you're just like out there and if you're getting bitten and you're bleeding and, you know, then stuff happens. But
I think we should have our own shark month and do shark movies.
I would love that so much.
I know you would love that. Of course you would love that.
Maybe we can do a Shark Week episode.
That would be sweet.
It would be.
We would need a bunch. Okay. But yeah, I'm not stoked on this. I might see it, but I'm not like excited about it or anything. It's not doing anything for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, let's move on to our first movie, The Host, from 2006, directed by, please bear with me with the names, guys. I'm going to do my best. I'm probably going to butcher them. Joo Ho Bong. And written by Jun Ho Bong and Won Jun Ha and Chul Hun Baek, maybe something like that. I mean they're relatively easy to say. I'm sure my inflection's wrong, but whatever. Maybe like 5% of our audience might know that tops. I don't even know that we have any Korean listeners, at least from Korea, like in Korea. I'm trying to think. Indonesia, not Korea, though, I don't think. Anyway, the IMDb summary is, a monster emerges from Seoul's Han River and focuses its attention on attacking people. One victim's loving family does what it can to rescue her from its clutches. I loved this movie. I think I've seen parts of it before. I feel like I've seen parts of this before, but I don't think I saw the whole thing.
Guys, I've been suggesting this movie forever. I'm so happy that you liked it.
I loved it. I am not even a huge monster movie fan or like giant monster movie fan, but I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was kind of different spin on it. There was very family-oriented story, which was kind of cute. It was kind of funny and kind of sad. And there was definitely some horror in there. Just got a little everything for everyone.
Did you catch? I don't know if, because you used to watch Walking Dead, right?
Yes, I did.
The doctor at the beginning is Herschel.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
I thought he looked familiar. He just looks different.
I haven't seen The Host since The Walking Dead's been on, I think, or at least since I've been watching Walking Dead. So when I rewatched it this time, I was like, it's Herschel. That's so cool.
Aww.
Fun little nod.
Yeah.
And I missed him. I miss him from Walking Dead.
I know. He was the greatest. I didn't catch that, but that's hilarious. I love how like Americans are just horrible in this. They're like the worst people. Oh my God, they're so horrible and dumb in both of these movies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I guess I know what what South Korea thinks of us. How lovely.
And like,
if you're listening to this, anyone in South Korea, hashtag not all Americans. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say.
Fuck. Oh, man. But you do have the one American that, like, tries to help and...
That's true. There is one decent American
helping fight the monster. Goes back.
He dies right quick, though, doesn't he?
Well, he gets the plague or whatever, the virus, the non-existent virus.
Oh, yeah.
How does that dude, like, legit get a lobotomy and, like, he's totally fine?
Was that a lobotomy, though?
I don't know. They screwed into his brain, like, the front part of his brain. Isn't that where stuff takes place?
Well, they were kind of... Okay, we're just jumping right in, but I'm okay with it. But he has, like, some kind of weird brain thing. His dad was talking about how his brain got knocked loose or something he was a kid and started getting beat up all the time.
He didn't get enough protein, so his brain didn't form.
But then they also said, like... But he also has, like, narcolepsy because he's falling asleep, like, the entire movie. So I kind of figured they, like, fixed something in there when they did that.
I think I always thought that he, like, slept so much for his entire life that when it needed to count, he was like, I'm good. I've slept. Kind of like that episode of Seinfeld where, like, Kramer tries to, like, sleep for, like, X amount of hours so he doesn't have to sleep anymore for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That's what that guy did.
It worked, apparently. I don't know. Because he did. He, like, the nothing would work on him. So maybe that is what happened. I don't know. That part was really weird, and I'm not sure I understood everything that happened with all that. Where I'm like,
but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
It's okay. I can let go of it. But I'm just like, I'm not really, like, I'll just pretend that this is lost in translation somehow and move on with my life.
How brutal, though, was, like, the grandpa's death? Like,
it was so sad.
It was so sad. He's like, oh shit, I counted wrong amount of bullets.
Ugh, the saddest thing ever. And he was just like, he was like disappointed in his son, but didn't want to show it. Like, his face was just like, I forgive you.
The worst ever. So sad. My God.
I love how this family is super dysfunctional and yet still comes together to save the girl. And she is so cute.
They kind of save her.
Well, they kind of. We'll come together to try to save her.
Yeah. They save the boy who pees everywhere.
Well, I would pee too. Fuck that shit. In fact, I think we're pretty lucky it's only piss. I mean, I think we should all be thankful that we didn't have to see shitty khakis. I'd much rather see pissy jeans than shitty khakis. Just saying.
Gross.
Well, I'm being honest, Carly.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so this legit, not the whole thing, but legit military employee ordered a South Korean subordinate to dump formaldehyde in the drain, which would lead into the Han River. So that part of this is true. And South Korea tried to, like, press charges against this guy, but the U.S. military, like, refused. So So he's still convicted in absentia, but I can't believe that.
That's insane.
Yeah, that guy sucks. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
His name is Mr. McFarland.
Fuck you, man.
To you, Mr. McFarland, us final girls salute a giant fuck you.
Yeah.
Thank you. No wonder the middle
finger right at you.
Honestly, like, I do not blame South Korea at all for making America to look like monsters in, like, literally all their movies. It's well earned by us. And by us, I mean not me, but, like, our shitty government.
That's so crazy. I didn't know that that was true.
Should I talk shit on our government on our podcast? I'm just going to do it.
I mean, go crazy. Do what you do.
Fuck. If it wasn't so shitty right now. God damn it. I'm really sorry. Hey, all foreign listeners, thank you for continuing to listen. I'm sorry our government sucks. Okay, moving on.
Cheers.
Cheers, I'm drinking. What else is new? Okay. I know, I was listening to our last episode when I was editing it, and I was like, I don't know why I keep talking about how I'm drinking. Everyone knows I'm drinking, because I literally say it every episode. shouldn't be a surprise.
I also like when you were like, I can literally hear myself gulping wine. Yeah,
it's disgusting. It's really gross. I apologize in advance for all that. but no, I really love this movie, and it doesn't matter that the monster looks so much like CGI. Like, it's basically, like, it's a little bit better than a cartoon.
I think it's part of the charm.
It is part of the charm, and it's also movie. 2006, and we've come a long way since then in terms of computer graphics in our movies. It's not that bad. And when it's in the shadows, it's pretty good. It's just like the close-up shots are blaring.
I love that it's just like fish bodies stuck in like random cavities on this thing.
But it's also got like the Demogorg mouth, like from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It's got like the weird four, like you know those
kind of like a Sarlacc.
Those paper
from Star Wars, the Star Wars. Well,
I was thinking more like, you know those paper things we make as little girls or little kids. Yes. Where we color the four sides. It looks like that. Gotcha. It's like
it does with
the
like
fortune teller books. Paper folder thing that we do.
Yeah.
And Carly, you're doing some really good miming today. I should record this. Carly is taking her fingers and doing a monster mouth similar to what a child might do in kindergarten.
It is my way.
Yeah. It's a great way. I appreciate you and everything you stand for. Okay.
I just threw the guns.
Oh my God. Okay. So I was very like into this movie, and I'd say nearly all of my notes have either exclamation points or question marks. All of them. So I was really excited when we found out the little girl is alive. I was very, there, like, multiple exclamation points for when we find out she's alive. I was very happy about it. And there was definitely, like, I don't know, like, I was asking a lot of questions. I knew that the bow and arrow was going to come in at the end because I was like, oh, how handy. She's into bow and arrows. It's like the second I saw that, I'm like, well, that's going to come into play later.
And she wins things.
She does
She's
win
like,
things.
She's, like, good at it. She's real good.
And I like the fuck-up college graduate alcoholic brother. I loved the narcoleptic brother, and I loved how the sister was, like, the slowest archer in the history of archers. And they never let her fucking finish. Like, when the father was going to shoot it, and then there was no bullets, she was ready to fucking go, and they stopped her.
Yeah.
Is it because they didn't think she could do it fast enough?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of rude. Like, you should have let her try a
little
bit.
They're family. I get it.
I guess.
They didn't trust her
very much. Every time, there was like three times when she almost shot it, and they stopped her. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Let her fucking shoot. She's way better shot than you. Word. Although I guess it wouldn't have killed it, and then she probably would have gotten eaten.
And then she wouldn't have had her arrows for the very end to save the day.
That's true. She totally saved the day. They all kind of saved the day. They all took turns being the hero. And I appreciate that. Like, there wasn't one hero. There's multiple heroes. And they all took turns. They didn't really work together as a team, but they all took turns being the hero.
They all showed up, though.
That's true. And they did all give a shit.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
When
they were fighting during the memorial, I was just like, is this supposed to be funny or sad or both? Because both is what I thought. Because when the sister takes her bronze medal and puts it by the girl's picture, I died. I was crying.
Aww.
Full tears. I did a lot of crying in both of these movies. I got very emotionally attached.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at the end of Train to Busan. Ooh, we'll get there. But holy shit. Just like tears running
bawling
down the
my
face.
Eyes out. And I wasn't expecting
it. So much
it.
Crying. No. All right. Well, what else do you want to talk about?
Your fun facts. I like them.
Okay, we can go through my fun facts. These are from IMDb. I didn't really do much research here. I couldn't find a lot, especially on this movie, because every time I looked up the host, all I got was the shitty American
weird
movie,
Twilight
the host.
One.
Yeah, not quite what I was looking for. So the director and the designer of the creature named it Steve Buscemi because because of the persona of his character in the movie Fargo. I'm not really sure I can understand that.
I don't, but I appreciate that the monster's name is Steve Buscemi.
But why wouldn't you name it Steve Buscemi's character in Fargo? I guess I can't remember his name in Fargo. Maybe they just couldn't think of it. But he's, like, goofy in that movie. I don't really consider this monster, like, goofy. He's kind of, like, sinister and weird. It's weird that
he's
just,
a little
like,
goofy. Like, when the girl tries to run up his back and he, like, grabs her and then sets her down on the thing and then puts his tail back and goes to sleep.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of silly.
Yeah. That was, like, kind of scary, but kind of funny. I'm like, does he like her? Like, why is he not eating her? And I was like, oh, he's just tired. Because then he gets mad.
He needed a nap.
Yeah, he was sleepy. Okay. And then the crew used metal barrels to make splash effects when the monster was supposed to be diving in the water, which seemed fairly realistic to me. I really liked the parts where the monster was underneath the bridge and like doing flips and like acrobatics. It's very acrobatic monster.
That was very cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what else to say. I just really liked it. I thought it was a fun one.
I love this movie so much. I'm really happy that we got to do it. And I was really excited to see that other people love it as well. So
yeah, it seemed like quite a few of our listeners were excited about this. So I'm stoked. I really enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot of like introspection that I was able to do watching it or like any kind of like real comparisons or anything. I just really enjoyed it. And I'm not by any means a giant monster movie connoisseur, but I'm sure there's lots of like familiar elements with Godzilla and things of that nature.
Yeah. It's just a really fun movie.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Tugs at your heartstrings a little bit. Has a little bit of humor. But overall, it's just like a good time. And it's 2 hours long. It's long. But it doesn't feel long. It's quickly paced. And I'm glad it was that long because I think we really got a feel for our characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of that time was wasted on anything. It doesn't lag. It's really well paced.
Yeah, I liked that we're never really in one spot for too long. Like, we get introduced to the characters, we kind of get a sense of where they are, we keep moving. We're always going somewhere. Yeah.
Totally. The one thing I did want to ask you about, though, was the very end of this movie. Well, not the very end, but basically then, right after the monster dies. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, the monster does not survive. Okay, so we find out the little boy is alive, and then
yes,
when the little boy is hugging the father, the little boy is looking in the distance, and it looks like the aunt is holding the little girl, right? Is that what we're looking at in the distance? But it looks like the little girl standing. Is he just imagining that she's alive?
No, so that was actually the protesters that you kind of, like, there's cut scenes to them. They were wearing red and, like, they were, like, protesting, whatever. But there was, like, a small group of them that, like, were there. I think there was, like, two or three of them that were there when the Agent Yellow got dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was them, that's them like recovering from like picking themselves up like at the end. So like he was watching that.
Cause at first I thought that was the little girl and the aunt. And then later I'm like, well, where'd she go? And then I had to rewatch and I'm like, I don't think that's her. Yeah. It was just a little bit confusing for me. And maybe it's just because it was so far in the distance, I couldn't see anyone's faces. So I just kind of was hoping it would be her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But
because I couldn't remember either. I was like, does she live or does she not make it? But she was, yeah, she didn't make it.
Yeah, it's really sad. But I did like the end where he's like not sleeping at the food stand, keeping an eye out for any monsters.
Yep.
And spending time with his new little boyfriend.
Yes.
That sounded creepy. I didn't mean it to sound creepy. He doesn't have a little boyfriend. The little boy is not his boyfriend. His adopted son. His adopted son.
Because the little boy didn't have a family.
He traded his daughter in for a little boy. Just kidding. That's sad.
Yep.
But it's kind of true. Okay. Kay. Ready to move on?
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay, let's do this. Train to Busan, 2016, directed by Song Hong-young and written by Song Hong-young and Ju Suk Park. The IMDb summary is, while a zombie virus breaks out in South Korea, passengers struggle to survive on the train from Seoul to Busan. Now, something I found out... your name is not Haley. You're not my cat. Something interesting I found out, Carly, is that the director also did a movie called Seoul Station, which is a prequel to this movie that was done before this movie and is animated.
Cool. I want to watch it.
I want to see it so badly. And I was like, is it streaming? Can we do it? And no, it's not. So maybe we'll have to wait to see that, which is a bummer. That's awesome. But I really want to see that. If anyone knows of a way to watch Seoul Station and maybe it's streaming on Amazon, I didn't check. I want to know about it. So let me know. Hit me up. Yes. This movie was very highly anticipated by a lot of people. I've been hearing about it for a long time. And anyone who's ever mentioned it to me only told me how amazing it is. So I had high expectations and I still really loved it.
Same. A lot of people were like, you should watch it.
It's just not my wheelhouse. I'm not a huge zombie person at this point in time. I was really into zombies probably 10 or 12 years ago. And then I kind of got bored with zombie movies. But this is different enough that it's good. It's a little bit more action-y than I'm typically interested in when it comes to zombie movies. But the confinement factor of it really helps.
Yes.
There's enough interesting things happening, interesting characters that holds my interest. And again, this movie's 2 hours long, but it doesn't feel 2 hours. Like, it really kind of flies by because there's so much cool stuff happening. I didn't love it, but I really, really liked it. There were things that I was watching and I was like, I don't believe that, but maybe that's just my brain. How did you feel about it, Carly?
I totally loved it. Any movie that I can hear, you need to see this movie, you need to see this movie, it's so good. I just watched it, it's so good, you need to watch it. And then I watch it and I am still super into it and like I'm not let down by anything and like my expectations were met, exceeded. I like really liked all of the characters. I really liked the setting, the train was such a cool, like, different place that we've never mm-hmm. really been with zombies before. So true. Watching that whole thing happen and, like, you're kind of learning with the actors, like, and with the characters, like, what's going on. And, you know, mm-hmm. you watch one guy go from, like, a really selfish douchebag to, like, being almost a hero. Like, I thought this movie was great. It had everything. It had the character development that I wanted. It had, like, the fun factor, the, like, I mean, not that I was, like, really, like, scared at any point in time while watching this movie, but, like, it had some, like, really creepy, like, I love the way that the zombies moved. There wasn't, like, a lot of gore, but there was, like, there was always something happening, which I really loved. The only thing that I would have changed is that shitty dude who got so many people killed, I would have, like, wanted him to go out in a worse way than he did.
Yeah, he totally deserved a shittier end.
Yeah.
I was a little, I could agree with that. I had the main issues I had with it, and again, I really, really enjoyed this movie, and I don't want it to sound like I don't, but there were a couple things where I was like, but really? Like, there's a woman, and maybe this is like a cultural thing. It totally could be. But I'm not super familiar with South Korean culture, so I'm not going to act like I know anything about it. But when the, especially in the beginning, when there's very sick people boarding this train and walking down the aisles in very creepy ways, they obviously seem very sick. The woman's leg, the woman that worked for the train station that became infected very early in the movie, her leg was like basically useless. People are eating each other's faces. No one really seems that concerned about it. Like, they're just like, oh, someone's attacking someone. Let's stop that.
Yeah, I'm like, I knew this was going to happen at some point.
Is there just no... Yeah, like, when is... I just was like, what? Why is... I just thought there would be more hysteria sooner, and maybe that's just like part of the crescendo of the film where it's trying to get you really into it slowly and maybe not have too much hysteria at once. But there comes a point where I'm confused if there's someone in the middle of the aisle, like basically dying, and people are barely looking at them. Like,
I don't think I remember that. I remember like things were happening.
They're like walking down the aisle with like broken legs and people are like, meh.
Like, it makes me think of, I don't know if you've ever, I don't, you didn't, because it came out when you, after you lost interest in zombies, but like, the first episode, or the first few episodes of the Fear the Walking Dead TV show, that like, it takes place in LA, and like, weird things like that are happening, and you're there, and you're watching it, but it's also LA, so like, A, people don't pay attention that much, B, they're fucking crazy people here that are like on drugs or just like crazy in their brain. And like, people are like, oh, I'm just, that's happening, but I'm just going to pay attention to me and like put on my blinders and like only not worry about it. You know what I mean?
And like, maybe, and maybe that's like the point of the, I don't know if he's a homeless man, but like the more homeless looking man in that movie, to like, he's like kind
so
of
aware of it.
Yeah, who's so aware of it and who is acting creepy, but he's not infected. He's just fucking freaked out and dealing with it his own way. But people seem freaked out by him more so than the actual people who are infected at the beginning of the movie. I just thought it was interesting. That one girl that gets on the train at the last minute has like crazy veins all over her legs and is really freaking out. And no one seems to give two shits that she just jumped on this plane at the last minute with no ticket. I mean, I just like found that I had to suspend disbelief a little bit with that part.
I don't know. You've been on the metro.
Yeah. And maybe it's like a New York City situation where you just see weird shit every day and you just ignore it and hope it goes away. Totally possible. Totally possible.
Until that's it's a zombie outbreak.
That's what I'm saying. It could be a cultural thing and that I'm just not aware of. Totally. Because if it is like New York City, then my apologies. I totally get it. Because there has been many a time I've been on the subway and have been ignoring everything happening, hoping it goes away. Guess what, though? Doesn't go away. In fact, usually it just gets worse.
Your headphones will not make it go away.
Right. Headphones and a blindfold, please, every time I go on the subway.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been on the subway that I feel like I'd just be excited about it. I'd be like, ooh, what crazy shit am I going to see this time? Get my camera out, just start snapping pictures at crazy people.
Yes. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, so what else you got on your list?
Two baseball players having a tickle fight. Probably one of my favorite scenes. Very short scene. You could have missed it if you blinked. But there's a legit tickle fight between two baseball players, and it made my day. I wish I could see tickle fights with baseball players every day. I don't think that would get old. Yeah. I liked the pregnant woman. She was one of my favorite characters. I really like how she was smart enough to spray the newspaper on the glass.
Yes.
But I also kind of liked how people were making stupid decisions. Like, people weren't thinking straight. And it was kind of nice because in that scenario, no one is going to be thinking straight and people are going to be doing stupid shit. Mm-hmm. But I wish there was a little bit more contrast between smart people and stupid people. Like, it kind of felt like everyone was just doing stupid shit. Like, cover up the... I kept yelling, cover up the windows! Fucking cover them up! Figure it out. That's, like, your best defense. Or when they figure out you can put bags over the zombies' heads and they have no idea what's going on, why wasn't there more of that? I was like, put more bags over their heads. There's a million bags in that train. Empty some out and start throwing them over heads. Easy.
That would have been smart.
Had a couple of those moments myself. But I mean, I was yelling at people doing stupid shit quite a bit in this movie, which kind of annoyed me. But I also realized there's like fucking crazy shit happening and people are in shock and don't know what to do. But
people are like dying and trying not to be killed. I feel like, you know, they can get some slack from not making the wisest decision. It's like when you're in the middle of like an argument and you like think about it later and you're like, oh, I should have said that because that would have been so good. But like, you didn't have that ammo in the moment because you were like flustered and you couldn't figure it out.
Totally. Or like when you're listening to your own podcast a week later and you're like, fuck, why did I even say that? I would totally miss the whole point. I had this whole argument calculated and I didn't even talk about it. No. I mean, that kind of happens to me every week. I'm not going to lie. I hear myself and I'm like, you totally fucked that up. Said the wrong thing.
You should have said the thing.
You should have said the thing with the stuff that you thought about in the car, remember? Totally forgot about it. The little girl is kind of an asshole, but that's okay because sometimes little girls are assholes.
Sounds like her dad's kind of an asshole, though. Like, not an asshole, but like, just not present.
She is an asshole. She was very judgmental of her father. He seemed like a decent dad. He was working. Yeah, okay, whatever. But I mean,
but like,
come
he didn't. He didn't even know that like she had a Wii. Like, obviously, he hasn't been in his little girl's bedroom very often, like tuck her in. Or
I'm not saying he's the best father in the world, but she is kind of a little bitch. I'm just saying, a couple times in this movie, I was like, God, just give someone a break. Why are you... She's acting like she's a teenager or something. She has so many, like...
She was very selfless for a little girl, though, as well.
She is. That's true. I'm not saying that her thoughts aren't necessarily warranted, but she does not give her father a break at all. He's, like, doing everything he can to make her happy, and she is just not having it.
Except for being there. He didn't go to her thing. He wasn't going to spend her birthday with her.
Okay,
she's
fine.
Grumpy. She's but sad, but she also doesn't want him to leave because she loves him so much.
I just didn't really empathize with her until, like, towards the end of the movie, I guess.
I didn't really, like, associate her as, like, a character until, like, the end of the movie. Like, she was there, but like, and I know that the reason why they were on the train was like because of her, but like at the same time, like, she was just kind of like a prop. She wasn't like a developed character, I guess, for
she
me.
She was a little too self-righteous for a child for me. Like, I don't think that many children are that like aware of shit. But I understand it's a storytelling device. Like, I can get over it. But I'm just saying, like, I found her kind of annoying until, like, towards the end of the movie when I started to really like her and, like, feel for her.
Yeah. The pregnant lady and her husband were definitely, like, my favorite.
They were my favorite. I love that guy. That guy was hilarious. And he basically is a superhero. When he duct tapes that, here again, duct tape, full circle from last episode. Duct tape comes in handy. Everyone keep duct tape on you.
Everywhere.
It's so important, especially in horror movies. So in case you might find yourself in a horror movie, please keep duct tape on you. It's very important. I worry about the safety of our listeners.
I do too.
But he had these like yellow duct tape and he was just taping his arms up and he's basically throwing zombies like it's nothing. And I'm like, he's a superhero. He's just a superhero. Like, it's insane how he was just like tossing them like in the air. It's like without a care.
I feel like everyone on that train would have been dead if it wasn't for that guy.
That guy saved everyone's ass. Totally. Yeah. 100% I agree. And the pregnant woman was awesome. She was very smart and very helpful. The interesting thing in these both of these movies is that the women seem very timid and shy, but they're also very intelligent, and they definitely bring something to the table that the men aren't bringing. It's definitely like a different kind of female empowerment, I would say, than you would see in like an American horror film. Mm-hmm. But especially in like newer ones where we're constantly praising how the women are strong and awesome. There's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of women kicking ass in these movies, but they do bring something different. They do seem to be thinking about things differently than the men and are helping the men, but it's very much like they're helping the men. Right. You know what I mean? Which, again, it's a cultural thing and I'm letting it go, but that definitely came in my brain where I'm like, can't we just have one of the chicks like fucking kill a zombie? Like, I don't really like, there's nothing. Like, I'm just not impressed by their badassery. As I'm just so used to being impressed by female badassery in these movies that,
see, that definitely didn't even bother me.
But did you notice it? Like, did you think of it at all?
I mean, sort
again,
of.
It doesn't bother me when it's a foreign film because it's a different culture and right. there's different things happening there. But it, to me, especially with all the movies we've been watching lately and talking about lately, where the women are super strong and physically strong and physically kicking ass, it's an interesting way. I don't necessarily feel like the women are subdued or anything, but it's just more like it's a different version of what we're seeing, right? It's a different version. Like, they're bringing something to the table and they definitely are helping in their own way, but it's just not, it just seems secondary. To me, because of all we've been watching, it seemed blaring. But again, I'm not going to hold this movie to the same standard as I would an American film. It's two different cultures.
Yeah.
They're going to do two different things, and that's okay. But, you know, I definitely noticed it.
I didn't even think about it, to be honest, because the little girl was a little girl, so obviously she's not going to be, like, killing zombies or whatever unless she's from that movie Logan, in which case that little girl would have taken out all the zombies. But, and also, like, the other lady was pregnant, so, like, it just right. made sense to me that, like,
her husband is going to be taking care of her.
I understand
that, but they made that character pregnant, and they made that character a little girl. They didn't make a chick that would be bad.
I don't need that in every movie, though. That
quote-unquote cheerleader girl that's hanging out with the baseball team, they could have made her badass. They could have totally changed the pregnant woman thing. Like, I'm just saying, they purposefully added meek female characters. I'm not saying they're not intelligent, and I'm not saying they're not bringing anything to the table. I'm just bringing it up as something I noticed. That's all.
Yeah.
But that was a choice that the writer made. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I just don't think that women need to be strong in that way, and that there needs to be that kind of, like, fighter character in every single, like, situation.
There doesn't need to be, but it's very, both of these films are very male-oriented, and I haven't seen a ton of Korean horror, so I don't know if this is a pattern, but this is a pattern I'm seeing with these two films, so I just wanted to bring it up. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it or whatever. It's just something I noticed and something I was like, I kind of just wish there was a little, like, just the old lady fucking hitting one in the bat with a head with her bag would have made me happy. You know what I mean? Like, just something. I just didn't get a lot of that. That's all.
That would have been great.
It would have been hilarious. And everyone would have loved
it. I mean, old lady takes everybody out, all the assholes out.
That would have been rad.
No, she does. The old lady at the end. She opens the door for the zombies because she's like, fuck you all, bitches, because you guys are bad people.
That's true. That was kind of fucked up.
I thought it was great.
I don't know that I don't think I was not cheering for her in that moment. I wasn't cheering for her. I thought that was fucked up. That was a fucked up thing to do. I didn't think that was a good thing. I thought not all those people were shitty. They were acting shitty.
Yeah.
That one guy was horrible.
Yes.
But the other people were just scared.
It made me think of The Mist.
And maybe that was like a social commentary, and maybe that's what the meaning of it was to like have, be like, you know, one person says something shitty, everyone goes along with it, and then the little old lady decides to kill them all. You know, maybe there's something in there. But I mean, all in all, it was a really enjoyable film. I would totally watch it again. I think it's a lot of fun. I really, really want to see the animated feature.
Me too.
Soul Train or Soul Train. That'd be really funny if it was called Soul Train. Soul Station.
Yes.
Soul Train. Oh, amazing. They really missed it there. Why didn't you call it Soul Train? Because it would have been ridiculous. That's but yeah, all in all, great. I enjoyed it and a lot of fun. Even for a zombie movie, I got over it. I'm glad we didn't do World War Z. It would have been too much zombie for me.
I'm glad that we didn't too.
Yeah, so good call with the host, Carly.
Thanks.
You win.
Woohoo!
You get a cookie. Good job.
I love cookies.
I know, cookies are delicious. All right, well, are we ready to move on from Train to Busan?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's get into our newest segment that we like to call...
Social Media Question of the Week! Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. This week's question is, would you rather be in a zombie apocalypse or a giant monster apocalypse, and why? Elizabeth, our girl Elizabeth, says, zombie apocalypse, just to witness the complete breakdown of society and how fast it happens.
Mm.
Elizabeth's kind of like darker than I thought she was. She's got like this dark streak in these past few episodes. She's like, I want Hannibal Lecter to play mood music while he kills me. And also, I want to watch the complete breakdown of society.
Her responses are very poetic.
I know. She's very poetic. I love it. Do you want to take the next one? We'll go back and forth here. We'll take turns.
Sounds good. The Horror Junkies podcast say the only monster world I'd be okay with is Monster, Inc. If we're talking the host, we're all going to die. Actually, I feel like in any monster infested scenario, we all die. No hope.
Oh, man. So sad. So the Horror Junkies podcast is new to the Phantom Network. Welcome, Horror Junkies, to the Phantom Podcast Network. Yeah, you know... Monsters, Inc. does sound okay, but that's not quite the monsters we're talking about, although I see where you're going with that. At Don Anelli from Twitter says, giant monster apocalypse, definitely. I added the definitely, I'm sorry. I'd be able to, let me try this again.
She's just creating her own tweet.
I've been drinking so much wine. At Don Anelli from Twitter says, giant monster apocalypse, I'd probably live longer, and who doesn't want to watch a giant kaiju all day long? Did I say that right? I don't know a lot about giant monsters.
Nailed it.
I agree with that 100%. I love that. Yeah.
At Media Monarchy says, I could defend myself better versus zombies than a giant monster. What if I couldn't run fast enough to escape a giant monster foot stomp? That's fair.
That's a great point.
That is fair. But like,
we'll get into our thoughts.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Keep going. Let's keep this going.
Sam S. from Twitter, the zombie apocalypse. I just need a rotund guy, just in case. I don't need to outrun them, meaning the zombies. I just need to outrun my pal. But kaiju are cooler. That is... You're going to need a lot of fat guys if that's your method.
Yeah, quite a few.
Once they catch one, what are you going to do? That's good for one
that's
scenario.
It. Then that's
You're going to run out of friends real quick if they find out you're only grabbing fat people. You're not going to last that long. You're gonna figure that shit out. Sam, you need to think about this.
Justin from the Horror Business says, giant monster apocalypse. Easier to scrounge for food and not be eaten alive by hordes of the undead.
Okay. It's a fair assessment.
It is.
Why don't you take the next one, too, since that's your friend?
Okay. In between the novel, my dear friend Shannon says, do I get to survive it only to happen upon January Jones lost in Tucson? It's the only apocalypse I want to, or it's the apocalypse I want to live in, smiley face.
Fair enough. Of course, she's referencing Last Man on Earth. Yes. If you don't watch Last Man on Earth, you're missing out. Which I can understand that. I tried to tell Shannon, like, yeah, but this, I don't think that these are parallel, like, these are parallel universes. Like, they're not intertwined at all. Like, there's no zombies in Last Man on Earth. There's definitely no giant monsters in Last Man on Earth.
No.
People just die. Yeah. It's just, it's more sad than that. People just go ahead and die.
Yeah.
So, she did the Carly thing, which I can tell she's your friend, because instead of answering the question, she just answered the question she wanted to, which is, exactly, what apocalypse do you want to live in?
That's why we're friends.
I can tell you're friends. Because 90% of the time you answered the question you want it to be.
Exactly.
You're like, so, all of the monster.
It's not real, so this is what I pick.
Right, what did you say last week? You were like, all of the monsters.
Yeah. In Cabin in the Woods.
From Cabin in the Woods. And I was, yep, like, no, you're supposed to pick one. You're like, nope, all of the monsters.
It's different each day.
Calm Carry On from Instagram, who is my sister, by the way, says, I'm still waiting on Data evaluating the monster apocalypse to make a choice. My sister is a pharmacist. She's a doctor of pharmacy. She's a very scientific person. She also forwarded me an article about how to survive in a zombie apocalypse, which was a scientific article on how to survive a zombie apocalypse. And then she sent me this, and I thought it was very cool. I know. I love my sister. Carrie, you're the best. She hates horror movies. She has no interest in these whatsoever.
I'm glad she got in on it, though.
Yeah, I appreciate her input. And I like that she wants to evaluate Data before making an appropriate decision.
I think that's fair.
I also think that's fair. So what is your answer to this question, Carly?
My answer is definitely... Okay, well, okay, this is what I was going to say before. Because, I mean, what kind of zombie apocalypse are we talking about? Are we talking about, like, Romero zombies that are very slow? Or are we talking about the new zombies that we're getting where they can miraculously run super fast?
Well, let's just say, for the sake of this episode, they are Train to Busan zombies that are really quick to change, okay, which is terrifying, by the, yeah, way. We did not mention that. They change super quick.
And they don't, and even, they, like, fast, eat people. Like, they attack them and they bite them, but there's nobody, like, losing limbs and no intestines spilling out. It wasn't that kind of gore. Out.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't gory like that.
Okay, well, I think giant monster apocalypse, because I mean, you only have one, assuming, or, right, I mean, I guess you could have many, but, like, if it's a giant monster, then you have, you know, there's other places to go, and there's more of a chance of one thing being contained rather than, like, everything, every person is possibly an enemy or an animal.
True. That's my answer. Like, I really think if I had... I like that answer, and I also agree. I think a giant monster apocalypse is way better. You have more time to prepare. I feel like I could hear about a monster being somewhere, and I could figure something out. I could probably live underground, you know? I feel like that's pretty safe. You could do a 10 Cloverfield Lane thing, you know, minus the serial killer, where you live in a basement, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, I could survive like that. And also, you can hear a giant monster coming way easier than you can hear zombies. Also, there's a billion zombies, and they're growing all the time. There's only one, maybe three or four monsters. Let's say there's a monster on every continent. I'm okay with that. I can hear that fucker coming, yeah, and I can prepare myself for it. I feel like I would have enough time to prepare hiding spaces and hoard food. Giant monster apocalypse all the way. Yeah. For me, no contest. I was actually surprised there were so many zombie apocalypse choosers. But I thought that their reasonings were good. I can't get over Elizabeth's answer. She just wants to see society break down. She just wants to see other humans kill other humans. You guys are great. I love our listeners.
Yeah. Me too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for making our day. Okay, yeah, let's move on to what's going on with us. What's going on with you, Carly? I'm really curious because I haven't really heard much from you these past few days.
So what I've done, like, I feel like I've done a lot of things. I feel like I saw quite a few movies last week. I did. I saw Phoenix Forgotten. I forgot. Like, I keep wanting to call it Phoenix Rising, but that's not the name of it. Phoenix Forgotten.
Can't make up your own names for things.
Yes, I can. I saw Phoenix Forgotten. I saw The Circle. And I saw Beauty and the Beast again.
Oh, did you like The Circle? Scenes.
No.
No.
Let me tell you.
Just no.
Okay. So my boyfriend and I were like, let's go see a movie. And we were like, oh, let's see what's out. And we watched a couple trailers. And then we're like, let's watch the trailer for The Circle. And I'd already seen it. But, like, I've been anticipating this movie for a while. Like, it looks like a thriller. It looks like it'd be interesting. And then you see it and nothing really happens. Like, this movie is so aptly named because it's like, it doesn't really have a beginning. It doesn't really have an end. Things just happen, but nothing's like crazy shocking. The acting isn't very great. John Boyega's wonderful, but he's like barely in it. I love Karen Gillan, but like she's not really in it that much.
Tom Hanks didn't fucking kill it.
Well, I mean, he's great and everything, but he doesn't really, it's not like he's...
He's not doing anything special.
Yeah, he's just being, like, Tom Hanks, kind of. But, like, there's this one character, it's the guy that plays Emma Watson's friend, and he is, like, one of the, like, worst actors I've ever seen in, like, a big budget movie. Like, the scenes that he's in is, like, it hurts, and it feels bad. Like, I feel bad saying that because, like, I don't like being judgy, but, like, even Steve said like something.
That. You wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
No, it just, like, it really took me out of it. And, like, I don't know. It's things just felt kind of weird and forced. But, like, the story was just not there for me. Like, there's nothing thrilling about this. Like, nothing, even at the end, nothing really, like, happens. I guess.
You know, I have a coworker who read the book and she's been really excited about this. And I wonder if the book is really good and maybe just the movie isn't there or something gets lost in translation there.
If that's what, like, we were literally like, I wonder if there's like a deleted scene that is going to be like included with the DVD that's going to make everything make sense. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, I wasn't that interested in it. Like, when I was watching the trailers, I was like, this looks boring. Like, even the trailer's boring. If you can't even make the trailer look interesting, I'm sorry, I'm out. Like, you could show something to make it seem interesting. I really did not care at
all. It's like missing that revelation. Like, I kind of thought that it was going to be like one way or the other. Like, either technology is so good because of this or technology is so bad because of this. But, like,
you're just kind of indifferent.
There's nothing there. It doesn't really go anywhere. So, like, you know.
That's too bad.
Wait till VOD.
Yeah. But you semi-enjoyed Phoenix Forgotten?
Yeah, I did. I wish that, I kind of wish that I hadn't seen the trailer for it or that the trailer kind of told you more about what it was going to be like, because from the trailer it seemed very much like it was going to be found footage the whole movie, but it was really like it's an hour and 20 minutes long, and it really felt like the first hour was like a documentary and then the last 20 minutes was like the found footage.
Interesting.
And like the documentary part wasn't bad, like that all felt very
natural.
It
just wasn't what you were expecting.
And so it was just really a slow beginning.
I still want to see Phoenix Forgotten, and I probably will still see it if it's in theaters this week.
Yeah.
Of course it will be. It's not going to go anywhere. I also really want to see Colossal. That looks amazing.
I want to see that so bad.
It looks amazing. I really want to see that. But I watched some movies. Again, a Shudder film. The Shudder film of this week for me was Absentia, which I really have been wanting to see. And it's Mike Flanagan, his first full-length feature. It very much feels like a full-length feature in that the acting's not super great, and it looks kind of low-budget, But honestly, it's so engaging and so interesting and so much fun to watch. I highly recommend it. That's on Shudder right now.
Nice.
Go check out Absentia. Basically, just a quick synopsis. It's about a woman whose husband has been missing for 7 years, and she decides to have him considered deceased by absentia because he's been missing for 7 years. They don't know where he's going. She's finally starting to move on with their life, and he appears. And he's not the same way he was before, and you kind of find out what happened to him, hence the film. Again, really creative, really interesting, really engaging and fun. It's a great premise.
Yeah.
Mike Flanagan comes up with really interesting premises. I really enjoy him. I've also been watching Girl Boss, which is now streaming on Netflix. It's a TV show. It's not horror related at all.
But I watched the trailer for that the other day when I was searching for something to watch.
I was homesick and I just couldn't stop watching it. I'm like, I don't even necessarily like this, but I can't stop. So it's really, it's like kind of funny and silly. And it's by the same people who did, what's that movie about the singing, the girls in college that sing?
Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, it's by the creators of Pitch Perfect.
Interesting.
Pitch Perfect. It's fun. It's based on a true story, very loosely based on a true story, as it says in the beginning of each episode. But it's a lot of fun. There's a like badass kind of crazy main girl that's fun to watch. Okay, well, let's close out then. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorcast.com for more information on them. We also still have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send us an email, FinalGirlsHorrorcast@gmail.com, and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on DownrightCreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. Find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Okay, guys, so we have a really fun episode planned for you next week.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we're so excited. We're having the Modern Horrors guys on.
Woo!
Both Luke and Jacob. And we were originally going to do a bunch of horror shorts, and we were planning on that. And then last minute, we decided, fuck that. I don't care that Annabelle is not streaming. We need to hear.
We need some explanations.
We need, not only do we need their explanation of why they love Annabelle, but we also need to like have a full-on discussion about it, like a heart-to-heart discussion on it. Because they're intelligent dudes. They don't hate on movies just for the sake of hating on movies like I do sometimes. So I really want to talk it out and also kind of fight about it because it's fun and I'm sure entertaining for others. Also, they hate Oculus. They do not like Oculus. They don't think it's a good movie. So, and we love Oculus.
We do.
Neither of these movies are streaming. So, I'm hoping most of you have seen both of these. Go to your local library and rent them for free, you know? Or, you know, buy them or rent them if you like them. But it's just going to be so much fun. I think it's worth doing movies that aren't streaming just so we can have this conversation that I've been kind of dying to have with them.
She has. I think you mentioned it on when we were on Modern Horrors. So
I definitely did.
Yes. So this is going to be great.
I think it's going to be great no matter what. We're also going to play a game with them. And
we are?
Shut up, Carly. You knew that.
I did know that.
We don't know what game. If you have an idea for a game, please tweet at us or send us a message because we'll figure something out. It'll be fun. It'll be fun no matter what. And I hope you guys tune in for that. But that's it for today. So until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.